Hello there, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, December 6th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm getting in the car because we're off to another exciting field trip to Babeland, Seattle, to continue our chat with my friend, Audrey McManus. She's the marketing, education, and social media coordinator for that illustrious sex toy boutique, don't you know? This is part two of our conversation, which inaugurates this brand spanking new podcast series called Play With It. This series is all about meeting industry insiders in the world of adult products. Leading retailers, educators, manufacturers, and reviewers who are shaping the sex toy and pleasure product marketplace.
Wait a minute!
You didn't miss part one of this delightful conversation that appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you gotta do is use the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 248, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Audrey also invites you to check out all the fabulous products and interesting enrichment programs available at Babeland by visiting their site, babeland.com. You can also find her on Facebook, and don't miss her Twitter feed, at babeland_C, as in Seattle.
You know, you got them bad eyes like a gypsy, and I don't know why I didn't see it yesterday. Bad luck, that's it. Is that all I'm ever going to have? Oh, I should have taken a rock and killed myself years ago.
I see where you're going with that. Today's program is brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call attention to a standing invitation for each of you to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I am exceptionally proud of the quality shows I've been bringing to you, my international audience. Over the last 3 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining programming, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this kind of diverse, sex-positive programming? And it always comes to you absolutely free.
I'm in love with you.
That's good to hear, because I need your help. So, okay, right about now, you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either my sites, drdicksexadvice.com or drdicksextoyreviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift, excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. Think of it as a holiday gift for your favorite sex podcaster. Okay, on with the show.
Hey, Audrey. Thanks for inviting me back to Babeland, Seattle, and into your sancto sanctorum, your holy of holies here, full of vagina puppets.
Yes, people do love my vagina puppets. We use them in the classes sometimes.
What's wrong with penis puppets?
I don't have one of those here. You know, I think
what
people generally know their way around a penis a little bit more.
Right.
Than
you know, because it's like always there.
Right. It's hard to, you know, guys are always handling their penis when they're peeing. It's like, hey, there's my penis. But women don't often get to see their vaginas. Yeah. And men don't often get to see
the
vulva. So we have we have drawings and we show videos and stuff, but sometimes we whip out the puppet to demonstrate
And rightfully so. Because it's true what you say, you know, that even for people who claim to be really well-versed, they don't really know their way around female genitalia like they do male genitalia.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then even the names, people often say, oh, the vagina, but really they're talking about the vulva, the
right,
whole area.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And so that's good to know. So I'm glad that you have
my vulva puppets. Yeah. And if anybody wants a vulva puppet, actually, I don't know what the website is exactly, but the company that makes it is House of Chicks. House O Chicks, I think.
Yeah.
And they make the vulva puppets, so
cool.
You can look them up.
Because you need to have one.
Yeah, they're kind of pricey, otherwise I'd have more.
Yeah. And they're wonderful educational tools, it would seem to me, if, you know, you have a household of girls and you want to teach them about themselves, that would be a thing to do,
mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yeah, and they're good for puppet shows.
Good. So let's continue where we left off last week, and
okay.
We were talking about sex toys, obviously. And one of the things that I want to talk about is that when the industry was young, one could only get latex or rubber toys. And nowadays, sex toys come in a wide variety of materials. What materials might a consumer consider to avoid toxic chemicals?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the materials that we love here, by far, silicone is, like, one of our favorites.
Right.
Silicone's non-porous. It's going to warm to the body, have a nice touch feel to it. It's very flexible. Some of them come with vibrators. Some of them are just dildos or butt plugs. We love silicone. We also love stainless steel. We have glass toys, like Pyrex toys and hand-blown glass toys, very sturdy,
solid toys.
We have wood toys. So all of those are really great. People can also just get hard plastic toys as well.
Yes.
And there's a slew of materials out there that don't contain harmful chemicals, and
right.
Two of the ones that we use, or we have a lot for, they're like lower price point, but they are porous,
right.
But those would be elastomer and then TPR, those
yes.
are the two we use, but they have no bad chemicals in them.
Yeah. TPR is a thermoplastic rubber.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the reasons that they're healthy is that they can be thoroughly cleaned. And that's one thing that folks don't always think about. I've talked to a lot of guys in this regard. You know, we're kind of slovenly to begin with, sadly. But, you know, when we're done with a toy, we kind of like toss it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the corner of the room or something like that, or back in the drawer next to the bed, or,
uh-huh.
you know, on the whatnot shelf or whatever. And it's really important to clean.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's easier to clean it right away.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's ready for use the next time you want it without
exactly,
having to clean it.
Exactly that, yeah. And so thorough cleaning is really a health concern, because if you're using it by yourself, on yourself, you know, in one orifice as opposed to, you know, several, it's less of a concern to, you know, like thorough cleaning and or sterilizing. But if you're sharing and you really want something to be clean, sterilization and, you know, at least bleach or peroxide wipe downs are really important.
Yeah, we always, someone sharing a toy, we talk about disinfecting, not sterilization, because
right.
my understanding is, I think, like, you have to autoclave it
right.
to sterilize
right.
it. So we just say disinfect. And
right.
So the toys you can disinfect are going to be non-porous. So those ones I mentioned, glass, stainless steel, silicone,
mm-hmm.
are non-porous, in which case you can boil them.
Yeah.
You wash them in some water, you can boil them, totally disinfect them.
Yeah.
If you want to use a bleach solution, you can use a 10% bleach
right.
solution and wash it down that way, or any disinfecting cleaner, just
right.
rinse it really
yeah.
well, or disinfect it and then wash it really well to get
right.
all that,
right.
anything off of it.
Right.
The other toys that I had mentioned, those other materials, while they don't have any bad harmful chemicals in them, they are porous, and
right.
you're not going to be able to disinfect them.
Right.
So they're just one-person toys.
Right. Do you... there seems to be a huge growing market for antibacterial wipes and toy cleaners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys sell that stuff?
We have a toy cleaner. I don't think it's antibacterial.
I see.
There's the one thing that makes it kind of special over just soap is that it's like kind of chemistry, right? It's like whatever that the particular soap is
yeah.
in there, somehow it specifically works with whatever the ingredients
yeah.
are in lube to like lift lube.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of it. But
yeah.
you spray it on and you wash it off, it's just like soap.
Right.
They do have antibacterial ones too. Some women are, you know, concerned about using something antibacterial
yeah.
and than using that toy in their vagina because it'll mess up their pH. Right. But really, just wash it and rinse it really well. Right. I mean, you shouldn't be leaving any, you know, residue on the toy. Right. So.
And storage is really important, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you? I mean, throwing it in, you know, in a drawer, a dusty drawer. I mean, it's particularly if you have a really good and expensive toy, you want to take care of that.
Right. A lot of the nice toys come with nice storage boxes.
It's so true.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's nice. You know, if you buy it, a higher-end toy, it comes with a little box that has a little tie on it or a little lock or something,
right.
and that's an easy way to keep your toy protected and clean and dust-free. And certainly, like, if you throw it in a dusty drawer, for the most part, that's fine. You just have to wash it again before you go to use it.
Uh-huh.
You know, one thing I always do with my toys is I just bought a couple of yards of swimsuit material and cut them up into, you know, squares, and then I just wrap things in that because they're not dusty. It's not fabric. And that just keeps everything in its own little wrap.
Right.
But that's just, I mean, something I do.
Oh, and one other thing that I want to talk about before we move off of sex toys. You and I both have silicone at the top of our list for favorite materials, but it's important that silicone toys be used only with, like, water-based lubes?
Yeah, you don't want to use silicone toys with silicone lubes. Or, you know, there are some companies that say they can use certain silicone lubes with certain silicone toys. But, you know, it just gets confusing.
The rule of thumb.
Yeah, it just gets confusing. And I can't keep it straight. You know, it's like, I feel like Tantus said you could use this particular lube with that, you know, and it's too hard. So, the basic rule is just don't use silicone lubes with silicone toys.
Because it degrades them.
Yeah, it's like basically it like bonds to the surface of the toy and it gives it a pitted textury thing. It ruins the nice smooth surface.
Right.
So you just, you know, for the longevity and life of your toy, just use water-based.
Okay, so let's move on. There's a rapidly growing segment of the adult marketplace that is getting high marks for its greening effects. And there are loads of organic massage oils, body candles, and lubes. Is this a trend or a fad?
Well, I mean, certainly, if looking at retail all over, organic, everything.
It's so true.
Is just popular, or like that, you know, consumers are looking for higher end, you know, better quality, you know, better for the environment, better for their bodies, you know, everything.
Right.
And, like, I mean, I was looking for a carpet, and the amount of information I found about, like, what to buy that my carpet doesn't have, or a new mattress, like, what to have that your mattress doesn't have. Like, it's just everywhere. So it just makes sense that it's in the sex toy industry, too. So with the massage candles, massage oils, certainly it's what the customers want. And so we've just been looking for, you know, more and better, and we have a good selection of them here at the store.
Are they big sellers?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. If, for example, we have the Sliquid, and
great
have,
company, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, we love Sliquid. It's one of our top sellers. You know, we
that's
have
spelled like S Liquid.
Yeah, S Liquid.
Liquid.
We have quite a few different versions of their lube. But we have two that are pretty similar. We have like the Sliquid regular and the Sliquid organic. And a customer faced with both of them, and I think the organic is a little bit more expensive. I would say 99% of people buy the organic. They're just like, it's an organic. I'll get the organic one.
Right, and it's pennies. I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, and we have our Babeland Naked Lube, which is organic, and then we have, Sweet Beauty is a local company, and they use fair trade organic, you know, chocolate in the manufacture of their products, and Babeland just got a new edible body chocolate that's vegan and organic, and it's delicious, and you know what I mean? So it's just like, if we're going to get something, and we have the option of having it be organic, then we're going to get that one.
Right. How cool. Do you guys do a lot of S&M kind of toys at all?
We have
bondage and blah blah.
Yeah, we don't have. I mean, I wouldn't say like we have a lot of stuff, but the things we have, you know, we have floggers, which are really nicely made. They're local by Bear Leather. They're in Duval.
Yeah.
You know, and we love the Bear Leather floggers. We have a lot of different versions of those, like short and long and medium and. The deer and the elk and the cowhide and the, you know, different colors. We have a huge selection of that. We have, like, spreader bars and lots of nipple clamps and a huge selection of cuffs and blindfolds and everything from, like, kind of serious to really pretty and cute, you know, like Velcro. You can get out of it real easy.
Is there a big market? Are you finding that your customers are grooving on this?
I would say the Seattle store sells more kinky things than any of our other stores. So the Seattle
thing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. We've got, you know, I mean, we've got a good selection, but right. it just depends what someone's looking for. Like, I find that we don't have, like, the kinkiest of kinky things.
Right.
We don't sell single tails or, I don't know, we don't sell the electro things. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the two things I think people ask about. They're just a little bit more advanced than.
Right.
But, you know, I can tell people where they can get those.
Right. Let's talk about a couple of things that appear in a lot of massage oils or lubes and massage oils and whatnot, parabens and glycerin. What's your take on these?
So glycerin is a very common ingredient in lube, and most of our lubes do not contain glycerin, and the few that do contain natural glycerin as opposed to synthetic glycerin.
Right.
There seems to be a difference in how people sort of react to that.
Right.
It seems a lot of women are irritated by glycerin.
Yes.
And if a woman is already prone to getting yeast infections, I would steer clear of any lubes that have glycerin for sure.
Yeah.
Some people are just not bothered by it at all.
Right.
But in general, we tend to favor the lubes that don't contain glycerin.
Right.
Parabens as well. Some people are concerned about parabens. They're in everything. You know, they're in lotions and hair products
right.
and makeup. And it's hard to stay away from parabens as well. And they're certainly...
Especially if it's a water-based product. I mean, you have to have, you know... a paraben-like thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well,
keep it fresh.
The thing is, I think the parabens are the inexpensive thing,
right.
so you don't have to have the paraben.
No, it's true.
So, you know, and it was really important to us, like our Babe Lube, the original formula had parabens, and we had
right.
it reformulated for us to be paraben-free, because
mm-hmm.
it was important to us
right.
that the Babeland products be paraben-free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people don't care, you know, they're going to use...
Right.
whatever lotion they get at the drugstore
right.
and hair products and makeup and,
yeah.
and other people are going to pay the extra money, you know. I mean, I know
yeah.
I pay the extra money. I go to Aveda and I get the paraben-free things. And
yeah.
I mean, I love MAC makeup, but
yeah.
it's few and far between that, you know, their stuff's not paraben-free, so
yeah.
it's hard. So
yeah.
the same thing, you know,
right.
sex toys. Like, so our massage products and lubes that we recommend
mm-hmm.
highly are going to be paraben-free and glycerin-free.
Mm-hmm. So I've also read up on glycerin, and there's animal-based glycerin and vegetable based glycerin, and apparently the vegetable based glycerin is better.
The one that's not irritating.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the natural glycerin. I don't
yes.
think that we have any animal based glycerin in our products. I think the ones that have glycerin are the vegetable based glycerin versus the other ones are synthetic.
Yeah.
That's my understanding
right.
of it.
Right.
But like I said, there might be two lubes out there out of 12 that have glycerin in them.
Right. So we touched on this last week some, but I want to come back to it. My mantra when buying adult products is go for quality, not novelty. However, a lot of people get introduced to the adult market via bachelor and bachelorette parties, and often those are just full of the crappiest, cheapest junk. Novelties indeed. How do we educate even novelty consumers to buy better?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because we never really carried novelties for so
uh-huh.
long. It was just, like, not our thing, you know?
Yeah.
But people would come in all the time, and they would want jokey gifts for bachelor
yeah,
parties.
Right.
Or so we did the research. We found novelties that fit, you know, our standards.
No kidding. Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, like, we got, I mean, I don't know what thing, like, the lipstick vibe and, you know, the little
right.
penis pops and things. You know, all those things that are exactly what people want for bachelor
yeah,
parties.
Right.
And they're, you know, the little cutesy, jokey
yeah,
kind of things.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to be the highest quality toys.
Right.
And I'll tell people that when they buy it. Like, you can get this. It's not going to last, you know, a long time. But if having it look like this little thing is the funny joke that you want.
Exactly.
Like,
it's for the joke.
Right.
Then
absolutely
the
you can
right,
buy it.
Right,
and
right,
some
right.
people, that's what they want. They want it to be like $6. They want it to be a joke. And it'll, you know, work for a little while. But they're not, but certainly we were able to source them and find
mm-hmm.
them that don't have the,
yeah.
you know, there, you know, there's a series we had that were like candy bars.
Yeah.
It's like Better Than Any Finger and 1,000 Orgasms and all that. And they were just regular hard plastic little mini vibes, but they
mm-hmm.
had this cute packaging with a little like purse kind of
right,
it came in.
Right.
And that was a good way to have
right.
a jokey thing that
yeah.
was still a quality toy.
Yeah. And then once folks are in your store, maybe they come in for a novelty item, then you can talk them through stuff. You can say, well, you know, for a little bit more, you can get this, and this, you know, we recommend that, and, you know, look for this. So it's a teachable moment, yes?
Right. And, you know, I think what happens a lot of times is ultimately maybe they want the big embarrassing
yeah.
thing to give their friend. And I will say to them, you know, I've done a lot of bachelor parties. I do almost a bachelor party every week, almost, I would say.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of them. And so many times I'll get up there and start talking, and someone's like, wait a minute, let me show you what I got for my bachelorette party, you know, like the hostess or something. And so I'll run upstairs and come down with this, like, giant sparkly dong looking thing, you know, and maybe it's still in the package. She's like, I could never use it, but, and so you think about it, like, maybe it was funny, but you're going to spend the money on it. Ultimately, she's not going to end up using it, you know, and then people might have a bad idea about sex toys after that, like, well, they were so big or scary or weird, you know, when you could get them something that's, you know, quality and not less intimidating, and you know, so I try to work it out with the people that are looking for novelty. Is like, is it the embarrassing thing you want? Do you want your friend to actually be able to use this? They're like, oh, she would never use it. But
you know, it's a funny story, because my niece was married last year, and I went down for the wedding, and I brought her and her fiance a big box of sex toys, really good sex toys, lubes and all kinds of things and fun things for him and her and the whole nine yards. And there were a lot of people that were horrified at the concept that I would have done such a thing.
You're like, who am I? Who are you talking to here? Who do you think I am?
Look at me.
I'm Dr. Dick, okay? Come on.
What's up with that?
I know. Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, and ultimately, like, if someone's going to be embarrassed about it anyways, like, even if you got them, like, a good toy anyways, they might still have that giggly moment.
Yeah.
And then, ultimately, they get to use it afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
So, you're right. It's totally a teachable moment. And then maybe the people that are in the store, like, looking for some jokey thing, are like, oh, well, maybe I'll come back later. Get something for me. So,
right.
It just depends.
Yeah. Do you find people, since you're in the biz, do you find people saying, that's all you have is sex on the mind?
Me?
Yeah. Or do they know
just
better?
Just my mother. I think that she's the only person that's ever been like, everything with you is sex. And I was like, is it? No. I think it was because she said, I don't think my mom will listen to the podcast, but it was a while ago, but I remember I was telling her something about being in the gay pride parade. She's like, why is everything with you sex? This is my mom impression voice, right? And I was like, what do you mean everything's sex? She's like, you work in a sex toy shop, you're in a burlesque troupe, you're going to the gay pride parade. I was like, that's not sex. No, whatever. But, But, you know, people generally appreciate it. I'm really fun at parties, you know.
Yeah.
And then when people find out where I work, usually they have a lot of questions.
Right. It's true.
So, I mean,
I'm a riot at cocktail parties.
Yeah,
too.
It's very entertaining. So, I mean, my favorite stories are, like, I'll be at a new hairdresser, and they're chatting with me, and, oh, where do you work? And I tell them, and then before I know it, I've got three hairdressers around me asking me relationship/sex advice.
Right.
Or I can't go to the grocery store over here without the lady at the deli counter, like, asking me stuff and telling me about her sex life, and I'm just like, I only have a half an hour for lunch. Can I just get my macaroni salad so I can go? You know? Or, like, I dropped my car. I did this once. I dropped my car. I had this big cock ring as my keychain, because it fit on my wrist. It was kind of stretchy. It just fit up in my wrist. It was glow in the dark. And I dropped the keys off to get the car fixed, and the guy was like, you can keep that. And he's pointing at the cock ring. I was like, well, oh, yeah. I was like, it hasn't been used. He's like, no, that's cool. You can keep it. I was like, all right. So I took the cock ring off, and I was like, well, I work at a sex toy shop, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh. And then, like, the mechanic at the shop, you know, is asking me all these questions. So, yeah,
it's
people generally appreciate.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely do.
But I always have sex in the brain, yeah.
So let me address the issue of packaging.
Sure.
So high-end manufacturers, some of the people that we've mentioned in this series so far, in this chat so far, use a lot of packaging, and it makes their products very distinctive and very handsome. But beautiful as it is, do you suppose it's wise in terms of the environment?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I think those high-end products, like, they come in those really nice packages, and for the most part, people keep those boxes, you know, and they put them under their bed or in the drawer, and it keeps the toy safe and clean.
Right.
But otherwise, the materials, the packaging, it tends to be recyclable. I think the bigger problem is actually the cheaper toys that come in those clamshells.
Oh, right.
Because those aren't recyclable.
Yeah.
And we go through so many of them.
Yeah.
So that's, I think...
Besides, they're hard to get into.
That's right. Yeah, they're hard to get into.
That.
And we've actually worked out, you know, here at Babeland, we've negotiated with some vendors to send us things without the packaging, just in a plastic, like, sleeve.
Right.
Because it makes it, A, cheaper for shipping.
Yes.
You know, I don't have a lot of packaging.
Yes.
I just throw it in, you know. And it makes it, so it's cheaper for us to sell it, because we're not paying extra for shipping. And then then it's cheaper for them to sell it to us, because they're not paying for the the clamshell packaging.
Right.
And then we never have to recycle it or feel bad about not recycling it.
Right.
So.
You know, I was talking some weeks ago to a friend, Joan Price, on one of my podcasts, and she does a lot of work with about senior sex, and she does a lot of reviews of sex toys from a senior perspective, and it really changed my perspective a lot, because there's a lot of things that seniors, I should probably include myself in that, although I'm not going to.
Seniors are always a little bit older.
Yes, they're fabulously older than I am. Anyhow, the point is that sometimes, you know, like, packaging is difficult to get into, and if there's unscrewable parts to the, you know, the product, and they're hard to unscrew, those are kinds of things
you know,
that seniors are, you know,
well,
need
not
to
just,
be conscious of.
Not just seniors, but, you know, we you know, teach a sex and disability class here.
Right.
So people with just differently abled, you know, functionality
exactly,
or something.
Exactly that.
And, you know, I personally, I have really weak fingers and, you know, bad wrists and stuff, and so I always think, like, I'm
but
a
you're
good...
a sissy.
But, like, there's some toys, like, I just can't, I don't turn on very well,
right.
And so I feel like I have that little inside, you know, oh,
yeah.
I can pass this on, like, this is,
yeah.
Pay attention when you're handing a toy to
right.
somebody, you know,
right.
Like, I had this older guy, I mean, he had to be, like, in his 80s, come in, he had this list of toys, and every one of them, I was like, oh, that one's gonna be difficult,
yeah.
You know, and I'd show it to him, and I'd push the buttons, be like, well, can you push this button, like, can you hold that down for this long, and can you adjust this, and a lot of them, he wasn't able to do, so that's good to note,
right?
You know, or like when you open the battery pack, like you have to squeeze it really tight and pop
right.
it off or something, like that's good to note. So I mean,
because who wants to struggle with that,
right? No, and it's fine for, you know, the majority of people are like, hey, pop off this thing, you know,
right.
Or I don't happen to have carpal tunnel, so this is fine for me. But if you have carpal tunnel, or
yeah.
you can't grip a toy quite
yeah, right,
right, or you don't have this finger pressure to press it down,
right.
that's important to note.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's the kind of stuff that Babeland sex educators are trained for.
No kidding.
You know?
So somebody would come in and say, you know, and not be ashamed to admit the, you know, that they have, that they are other abled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know if someone would be ashamed to admit it or
yeah.
otherwise, but the idea is like we're ready and trained
yeah.
to
yeah.
like to troubleshoot that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just sort of part of our dialogue, you know, and like, hey, and you have to hold this button down for 5 seconds, and you have to press really firmly. Like, here, you want to give it a try?
Right.
No matter who it is.
Yeah.
And I
so you have your toys on display, right? I mean,
yeah.
people are going to be able to pick them up and touch them and you know, try to manipulate the toys or their buttons or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before they buy, because, I mean, how fruitless is it to get it home and discover that, you know,
right.
this is not... You know,
yeah, everything is on display. All the toys have batteries in them or are charged. And, you know, the ones with the pretty packaging, we definitely display the packaging next
yeah,
to it.
Right.
So you can, like, hey, they put
yeah,
all that time
yeah.
and effort into the
right.
graphic design.
Yeah.
But certainly everybody gets to try them out. And it's important, too, because then you can see, like, how the material feels and
mm-hmm.
what the vibration feels like or how stretchy a cock ring is.
Right.
And you wouldn't know, looking at a cock ring, which one's really firm
yeah.
which one's really stretchy.
Yeah.
So.
And nowadays, you know, it's frightening to me to find out how many of them are one-size-fits-all, and that just is not true
yeah.
for us boys.
Well, you know, and they're not all... I mean, there's a lot that are just stretchy.
Right.
And so if someone...
But sometimes it's, you know, either they're too much stretch in it,
right.
you know, and that, you know, that there's no constriction at all.
So I usually recommend... We have a couple that are adjustable, and so I usually, like, point that out and say, why don't you get an idea of, like, what size you like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, $8, you
mm-hmm.
know. And then they can come back and be like, I like it snugger, I like it this. And so
mm-hmm.
we've got... You know, the basic ones
right.
that are stretchy, and then some, we just got some in there were, like, super stretchy. So those would be
right.
for the people that are like, I'm afraid to put this on my cock, you know? They like, get this one, because I don't really imagine it's going to do much. It's really stretchy. But the other note of those is, you know, you can put them over a Coke can or something,
right.
or, you know, soda bottle overnight,
right.
and
right.
lose some of the elasticity if it's too
right.
tight.
Right. And finally, before we conclude, let's talk about the company you work for.
Oh, yeah.
I invited you to chat with us because your company is taking a lead in this greening effort and being on the forefront of much of the stuff that we talked about so far in this conversation. So can you give us some background on Babeland? What's its history?
Yeah, so Babeland was started in 93 by two friends, Claire and Rachel, who at the time just found that sex toy shops weren't very inviting to them. You know, they just felt as women, they felt kind of, you know, leered at and sketchy. And, you know, I even to this day, I've walked into sex toy shops and had a leering, you know, creepy counter guy
yeah.
say something somewhat inappropriate to me, and that's the dude that works there, you know? I mean, it honestly, like, that's not the majority of them, at least not Seattle. Like, in Seattle, like, places are well lit, and people are friendly, and you're not going to have the trench coat crowd. I don't know other places in the United States, like, what's the norm? But certainly, like, the norm now is to be friendly and inviting and open and whatever. But 93, that wasn't the case. Yeah. So Claire and Rachel opened Babeland specifically to be a welcoming place for women, you know, not feel sketchy about shopping, but have always been open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then to this day, like, we don't necessarily need to say we're a sex toy shop for women, but, I mean, a lot of people still think of that as us, and we'll always be, you know, a comfortable place for women to shop, but for everybody to shop, really.
Their original title was Toys in Babeland.
Yes, Toys in Babeland.
I love that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they really needed to emphasize that we sold toys, sex toys,
right.
You know? And it was cute, and, you know, as time went on, I think we were really established, people really knew that we sold sex toys, and that's what we did, and so we just shortened it to Babeland.
Right.
You can still call us Toys in Babeland if you want to.
Alrighty.
Dr. Dick.
And we mentioned briefly about this last week, but I'd like to focus a little bit more on it now. Tell us about the staff training and what you do as the education and marketing coordinator.
Okay. Yeah. I don't train the staff in general. Like, the store manager and the assistant managers train the staff. We have a really nice training manual, and there's a minimum of 40 hours of training that goes into training anybody. I do train people to be teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And to set up the presentation. So I help organize all the workshops and plan what we're going to have for workshops here in the store and our events, and then set up the teachers so they can teach and organize.
Do you invite outside folks?
Yeah, we do.
No kidding.
So it just depends, especially if it's like, usually we invite outside folks when it's a topic that here in the store we're not, you know, proficient in, or it's just not like our thing. Like polyamory, for example. Like, it's just not, like, we're sex toy experts, kind of, and so... and like kind of like sexual act experts, so like we can totally teach about anal sex or strap-ons or G-spots or fellatio and all that, but then like the poly classes we usually have outside teachers for, or if it's just a famous teacher, you know, like Midori,
Tristan
Taramino, you know, or Nina Hartley, we've had them, and they might teach something we would teach, but people want to see, you know, Hartley teach fellatio or Midori teach rope bondage, so.
Yeah, and you have all the big names coming through.
Yeah.
That's great, I love it. My hat is off to you guys. Do you guys ever attend the big trade shows in L.A. and Las Vegas?
Yeah, I don't. I've never gone, but I heard they're a hoot. I mean, it's definitely, they sound like a lot of fun, and then it's cool because we get, like, that inside peek of, like, what's coming up and what's new. And so, you know, our buyers go, and, so the folks who work at our website, generally the folks who go, and the website always gets the toys first.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, we have the stores in New York. We have the three stores in New York, and we have the Seattle store, and then the website. So it's usually the website folks that go down to the trade shows.
Damn.
I know. I've always wanted to go. I mean, I guess I could if I wanted to on my own, but...
Just hold your breath and say you're going to eat dirt if you
don't. I mean, I want to go just because I want to see what's there first before anybody else. And it's always like there's like some, you know, like they're like, oh, we're going to offer it to Babeland first. You're going to offer, you know... I think there's some wheeling and dealing that goes down there, you know?
I guess so.
Who's going to be the first sex toy company
to
sell the new Fun Factory thing or whatever.
Exactly. So, any suggestions for someone wanting to break into the marketplace?
And make sex toys?
Make sex toys or establish a shop or an online thing or...
I would say be very well informed, you know? Definitely, like, don't just throw a fly-by-night thing together. You know, hand-picking toys is nice, as opposed to, there's a lot of sex toy companies out there. I think you can do this thing where, like, there's an interface you can buy, and you basically get linked up to, like, this mega collaboration website.
And you put your little logo on the top, and then that's it?
Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So I would say, like, have, like, your, you know, what you stand for and what you're interested in, and go for that. And then, you know...
And then have your products reflect that.
Yeah, and it would be cool if, you know, people always want a Babeland in their town, you know, and we can't put... I mean, that would be great, and maybe one day. But I'd say if someone lives somewhere and, you know, there's no Babeland there, and they want their own toy company, they, you know, that's a place to start.
Right. And besides, if, you know, even if they live in Podunk, they can always shop at Babeland.
Yeah, Babeland.com, so everything. I mean, and, you know, we have customer service people that answer the phone at the 800 number, and then you know, here in Seattle, people call us all the time. I think the Seattle number comes up first, so we get tons of phone calls, people wanting to buy stuff, and so we are so happy to help and help you pick things out.
And you are a treasure, I want to say that. Honestly, I'm a big fan of Bayland. I'm an extremely big fan of yours, as you well know.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of yours.
And I'm hoping that we have other opportunities to, you know, to work together, and because I loved it when we were on that Sexpert panel together.
Yeah, that was fun.
UW. Mm-hmm. That was way fun.
It was very, I hope they have that again soon, because that was a good interactive panel.
Right. Well, with that, my dear, I see that our time is up again this week, and I'm so astonished that we have people like you. You know, it really is, because years ago, not even all that many years ago, just as you were saying about the founders of Babeland, not many years ago, there it was difficult to find people who would identify as people working, you know, in a sex store, and or proud of the fact that they were associated with the sex toy industry. And folks like you are really changing things, and we're all the better for it.
Well, I think the big, great thing is that Babeland's so well respected, and that when you say you work here, I mean, you're proud to say you work here, and people are like, ooh, you know, you work at Babeland, that's such a cool, you know, we got like, I forgot, was it Seattle Magazine or Seattle Metropolitan, I don't remember, but like best places to work, you know, and it really is, so, you know, you're proud to say you work at Babeland.
Well, until we visit again, my dear, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Okay, yeah, come visit me. You can visit us on babeland.com, and you can find me on the bio page if you want to say hi.
and don't forget the Twitter.
Or Facebook stalk me. Yeah, and then if you're on Twitter, you can find us at babeland_SEA for Seattle. So babeland_C. But just search for Babeland, because you can find the Babeland in New York or the Babeland website, too.
Cool. Thanks, darling.
Thank you.
And be well.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
What a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide these shows. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why do I need to make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administration costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. And there are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees. And you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to support this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messaging throughout the entire world. So I thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.